This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. Julian Ng, Lin Mark and Wong Xiaoning with you. And Uber is getting more money yet again, this time in its autonomous vehicle unit, raising $1 billion from the likes of SoftBank.
Yes, this is giving the company a much-needed funding boost for its self-driving ambitions on the eve of its public stock offering. So Uber said the investment valued its Advanced Technologies Group, or ATG, at $7.25 billion. Now, SoftBank is going to invest $333 million from its $100 billion Vision Fund, while Toyota Motor Corp and automotive company Denso Corp will jointly invest the remaining $667 million.
ATG becomes its own legal entity but remains under the control of Uber, with its financial performance folded into Uber's. The funding allows Uber to transfer some of its substantial costs of developing self-driving cars onto these outside investors.
And this would bode well for the upcoming IPO, because at least investors would know that some of this funding will be borne by third-party investors to develop this self-driving unit. The business unit brings no meaningful revenue for Uber, however, in the short term. Last year, Uber actually lost more than $3 billion.
Yes, so the company isn't even offering free rides in these robot cars to passengers, unlike some of its rivals are. This is particularly following a fatal crash last year in Arizona involving an Uber self-driving SUV. Now, Uber released its IPO filing this month, and it's preparing to launch its roadshow, where it will pitch its company's prospective investors the week of April 29th, so setting up for an early May debut on the New York Stock Exchange.
Uber is expected to raise $10 billion at this $90 to $100 billion valuation, which is at least an 80% jump from its current $76 billion valuation. It's a decagon. That's the new term, isn't
it? Decagon, that's right. And for more insight into this, we spoke to Dan Ives, Managing Director of Wedbush Securities. We asked him to give us an idea of the state of development in the self-driving arena, as well as when these vehicles are commercialized. Good morning, Dan, and thanks for joining us. Can you give us an idea of the state of development in the self-driving arena? How soon will we see commercialization of these vehicles?
Yeah, I mean, look, self-driving cars, in terms of technology, it's right now it's an arms race, because you have Waymo, which is obviously Alphabet's initiative, and you have Uber, and then even Tesla is looking at self-driving cars and fully autonomous. You know, we think this is something you're going to see probably over the next 3 to 4 years, where it's going to potentially become more commercialized. But remember, for Uber, this is a major initiative, and it's a key differentiator versus Lyft and others, and definitely front and center going into the IPO roadshow.
Now, Dan, Uber's self-driving car arm has seen its setbacks. The fatal accident involving a driverless car in Arizona happened just over a year ago. Where does Uber's driverless car venture stand in comparison to some of the others you mentioned, for example?
Look, I mean, Waymo continues to be the top of the mountain. I mean, there's no doubt that Uber's chasing Waymo, but I think they've made significant strides over the last year, and especially with SoftBank and others, you know, investing here. I think this is really them trying to, you know, get that leadership position in automation, because this is really a big focus for Uber over the coming years.
And how will this deal play into its upcoming IPO?
I mean, when you look at profitability for Uber, autonomous is going to be a key piece of that. And I think when you look at the IPO, I think a big part of the valuation is where Uber can go on autonomous over the coming years. You look at, you know, potential what Waymo's valuation is. This is really something investors are very focused on going into the IPO in terms of autonomous. That's why I think this investment comes at just the right time ahead of its roadshow.
And Dan, also having a direct funding into a unit somewhat protects Uber a little, because this eases Uber's funding needs. Do you think that that's the case?
Yeah, I think that's a great point, because I think that was something where that was done strategically. And I think it's important also to separate it, especially where this unit could go in terms of self-driving cars and ultimately how Uber has a much grander view of where this is going to go over the coming years.
Thank you so much for joining us. And that was Dan Ives, Managing Director of Wedbush Securities, talking to us about Uber's self-driving investment, $1 billion.
Which is still not profitable also. Just like Uber.
Yes, I think Uber is currently holding the record of the most unprofitable company in the world, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think any other company has made more losses than Uber. But Uber is also a very valuable company. I mean, valuations have it at $120 billion for the IPO.
Decagon, that's the new term. But they lost $1.85 billion. EBITDA last year, which is a lot of money to lose.
It is. Yeah. I can't lose that kind of money because I just simply don't have that kind of money.
Really, Julian? Are you sure about
that? Yeah, maybe pennies of that. All right. The other loser last week possibly could be Donald Trump because last week a redacted version of the Mueller report looked into Russia's government's involvement and interference into the 2016 U.S. presidential election. It was conducted by the U.S. Department of Justice Special Counsel's Office and headed by Robert Mueller, former director of the FBI.
Now, the report, which is nearly 450 pages long, was submitted to the U.S. Attorney General William Barr last month and was released to the public last week. Now, some highlights out of that report were that the Mueller investigation found insufficient evidence to support criminal charges against President Donald Trump, but it didn't exonerate him either. So it found that Trump's campaign had numerous contacts with Russians, but that it did not amount to collusion.
And that didn't amount to criminal conspiracy either. But there were 10 instances which Trump tried to seize control of the Russian probe.
Yeah, so this includes Trump's firing of FBI Director James Comey, as well as efforts to force Mueller's removal to stop him from investigating a potential obstruction of justice by the president.
And Democrats are not taking this lying down. They're pushing for Robert Mueller to publicly testify about the work he did for Trump for an unredacted version of the report to be released. And also connected to the Democrat Party, a number of 2020 Democratic presidential nominees or candidates have released several years of their tax returns in the run-up to the election. This includes names like Bernie Sanders, Kamala Harris, Elizabeth Warren, as well as Beto O'Rourke.
Yes, and this comes in stark contrast to Trump, who has refused repeatedly to release a report of his tax returns to the public. Now, some of the findings from this release include that Kamala Harris, so alongside candidates Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, all fall into the category of the 1%. So they all earn vastly more than the average American citizen. And I guess it's kind of off-brand, particularly for people like Warren and Sanders, who have this image of being for the people and have repeatedly made statements against the one percenters.
But to me, the issue is if you earn this money legitimately and and you pay your taxes on it, and unlike Trump, you declare all your earnings, is there really an issue?
No, it's not an issue. I think that, if I'm not mistaken, Bernie Sanders is a new millionaire because of the one or two books that he has written in the last few years and gotten a lot of royalties from there. So it's a reflection that he has worked hard and he's earned his money honestly. But that doesn't still mean that these giants like Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren can't fight for the people.
Exactly. And it's interesting that they also give quite substantial amounts of money to charity.
That's good. So that's their using their money responsibly, I suppose. I guess it just for me, I agree that there's nothing wrong with money or profits that have been earned legitimately. But it raises the question of how well they are able to relate to the wider segments of the population and how, it reflects on their rhetoric, I guess, because Bernie Sanders particularly has said, you know, numerous things about millionaires, about one percenters, and it's come out now that he's one of them. So it just doesn't look very good.
I don't know if it would harm his chances or his image for that matter, because $1 million compared to some of the other billionaire candidates, including Donald Trump, who professes to be a very, very rich president.
Gazillions, Julian. Gazillions.
Yeah, exactly. The differences are pretty vast in terms of richness and wealth. Okay, we're going to take a break now, and coming back, we'll talk about Bandar Malaysia. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.